For all the Lord has done, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. I invite you to go with us this morning to the book of James, chapter number 5. And we'll try to share this morning what's been on our heart. And I trust the Lord to bless it today. And you pray for us that we'll be mindful of the Lord. James chapter number 5. James now concluding this letter. Verse number 13. James chapter 5. Is there any of you among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. By the way, friend, that needs to be looked at. He didn't say confess someone else's faults. He said confess yours. And when you do that, then you can pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Alas, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'm interested in verse number 18. James here is given an illustration from the life of Elijah as he will deal with the subject of prayer or the prayer of faith. And it's amazing when you begin to consider this, he will highlight here a specific event that took place in the life of Elijah. There are many things that took place in his life, but he singled out a particular event, and it deals with the subject of prayer. It's amazing in these 6 verses in which I have read to you that there'll be 7 references given to prayer. And so it seems to be the overwhelming theme here as James is, I believe, seeking to drive home a point. And I believe he has a message for the children of God. And as I look at this, he tells us here in verse number 17... concerning this man Elijah, who was subject to like passions as we are, the Bible said, and he prayed earnestly. And he prayed for a specific reason, and that was that it might not rain upon the earth. The Bible tells us it rained not upon the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Then the Bible said, and he prayed again. Amen. Sometimes it's not just praying, but it's praying again. And as I look at this, I mean, when you think about the man Elijah, there's a lot of things that probably come to mind, but he was a man of prayer. And when you examine his life and the events that took place and all these miraculous events that happened in his life, James didn't talk about his experience by the brook. He didn't talk about the time he spent in Zarephath and how that God would take care of the man of God with just a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. It failed not, but he did not mention this. He didn't mention, friend, the fact that when the lad passed, when the boy passed, that the man of God prayed over him. Life was given unto him. He didn't talk about that great confrontation and contest on the side of Mount Carmel with 450 prophets of Baal. And there the man of God did pray 63 words. The fire of God fell. We know the story and how the people said, the Lord, he is God. The man of God slew the prophets of Baal with a sword. And all the things that took place in his life up to this point, and even the things that took place afterwards in his life. But he's illustrating here this thing about the prayer of faith. And friend, I believe that's so important. It's not just praying, but it's the prayer of faith. It's believing, thank God, the one who you're talking to. It's understanding that we serve a God who truly is able to do the exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now, as I look at this, there's a drought in the land. 3.5 years it has not rained. I've never experienced anything like that. I don't know what it must have been like, what these people were going through. But it was a hard time. It was a dry time. No doubt it was a discouraging time. And Elijah here has prayed and he's talked to God. And when the Bible said he prayed, he did this before he ever came to Ahab there in 1 Kings 17 and said, it's not going to rain. He's already prayed. God's heard and answered that prayer. He's just informing the king about what he's prayed about, what God's going to do. Then the Bible said he prayed again. It was a specific prayer concerning a specific need. Things have already been shared today. Brother Keith talked much about prayer this morning, even from Philippians. But every one of us today, we have specific prayers for specific needs. And the Bible tells us that this man prayed again. And it's amazing sometimes how that seemingly in this man's life, he's prayed, he has prayed, he has prayed, and it's like God has moved immediately and instantly. Prayers have been answered. But he talks about this event that took place not on the side of Carmel when he prayed 63 words and the fire of God fell. But he's talking about what took place on top of the mountain. A lot of times we take the mountain and we talk about mountaintop experiences and we kind of illustrate it like a pinnacle point in our life when God has done something great and we've reached a plateau, friend, that few began to reach. But here he is on the top of the mountain and he's still having to pray. And he's having to pray again. And this is a prayer of faith. And sometimes, friend, it's not just in the valley when faith is tested. But it's also on the mountaintop experiences of our life when God has brought us to a place, friend, we're having to pray again. This man is praying for rain. Nothing else but rain. Amen. I tell you, friend, we live in a dry time. We live in a time of famine, not of bread. Brother, I tell you, God's been good to us. But there is a famine, friend, in the hearing of the word of God. That's where we are in this day. But the Bible said he prayed again. In 1 Kings, and I'll make some references back and forth, but I want to read some scripture here, and I'm going to try to bring a message this morning on he prayed again. I pray the Lord would help you today. I pray the Lord would help me because sometimes, friend, you're just going to have to pray again. It's not that God doesn't hear. It's not that God doesn't care. It's not that God doesn't understand. It's not that God doesn't know. But God has ordained some things in our lives. God is not hurting the man of God. He's helping the man of God. He's teaching some lessons, friend, in his own life. May God help us to grasp these truths in our lives. God is aware, friend, of where we are. He is aware of what we need. But he commands us and tells us in the Word of God things that we are to do as his children. And one thing we are to do, it is to pray. He said, pray, thank God, pray. And as a matter of fact, God's broke it down and he's made it simple for us. He simply said, ask. There's some things that you may not understand, but we all understand asking. And children, friend, they grasp that concept at a very early age. They learn how to ask. Amen. And they don't seem to have a problem asking over and over and over and over again. Am I right? And so a lot of times, if they don't even get the answer they want, they go ask again. But sometimes we as adults, saved by the grace of God, have a heavenly Father who hears and answers prayers. We fail to ask him like we should. Sometimes we're going to have to simply pray again. And it's through these times that God does things in our hearts and in our lives and teaches us life lessons, friend, and things not only about ourselves, but about him. I appreciate the goodness of God. But the Bible said in Elijah in 1 Kings chapter number 18, said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. We understand what's taking place here. Friend, the fire of God is failed. And the Bible said Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel and cast himself upon the ground to the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And so this thing has taken place, and he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. There's nothing. Boy, sometimes when you get to the top, there is nothing. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be something. Amen. And so it came to pass. Of course, the man of God said, go again 7 times. It came to pass the 7th time. They said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And oftentimes, friend, and then, friend, God has given him some hope, thank God. God's given him a little hope. And sometimes it don't take a lot of hope, just a little hope. And acting upon that, here's a prayer of faith. This man prayed again. Boy, I like this. And the Bible tells us here, and it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heavens were black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. There wasn't a drizzle, brother. There wasn't a 5-minute shower. There was a great rain. That don't take God a long time to do a whole lot. That's what we need to understand. Amen. Sometimes we work and labor and plan for years and years to try to see something come to pass. But God is able in a moment of time to do great things. And so God has sent the rain. The Bible said the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab into the entrance of Jezreel. Thinking about this subject, he prayed again. And the first thing that I want to recognize here is there is a promise. There's a promise here. And God made this promise. And you got to understand, I've got to understand, that's where faith comes into action here. If God has made a promise, then God will be good to his word. He will fulfill his word. He will do what he says he will do. It was God that came to Elijah. The Bible said it came to pass after many days in verse number 1 of chapter 18 that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the 3rd year saying, go up and show thyself unto Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. He didn't say I might do it. He didn't say there's a possibility it could happen. He didn't say if everything works out just right and the signs are just right and this happens right and if you do this and somebody else does that. He said, I'm going to send rain upon this earth. Amen. He said, I'm going to do it. He said, you go tell him what I said. Oftentimes what the Lord is looking for is just simple obedience from his children. Simple obedience. He said, go tell him it's not going to rain. He did that. He said, now go tell him it's going to rain. We know everything that took place here and how that friend Ahab was given the message there. And God has made a promise here and God will do it. I promise you this, God will fulfill his purpose and will. He'll do that. By the way, that's all he's going to do. His purpose and will, he's going to fulfill it. And he's getting Elijah to the place. See, the thing about it is, we see where we are right now. But all these events in our lives is not just about the right now. It's about what's coming down the road tomorrow. It's about what we're going to face next week and next year. Listen, it's not going to be long that the man of God's really going to throw the towel in and sit under the juniper tree and say, I'm pretty much done with this thing. But I tell you, friend, God is showing him some things. God's working in his life. And it's important we understand we just need to be obedient to the God of heaven today who will fulfill his promises in our lives. I think sometimes the problem comes in is when we've not seen what we want to see when we want to see it. I mean, listen, we do live in a society that's based upon things that are instant. Amen. And I tell you, the last couple of years, things are not like they used to be. Amen. We got used to having everything just like that. Amen. But I'm telling you something, friend, oftentimes in this Christian walk, friend, it's not just like that. It's when God wants it to be and we're to trust him and rely upon him and look to him and love him and serve him when we can see it and when we can't. When the fire is falling from heaven, praise God, anybody can shout and live for God. But I'm going to tell you what, when you've got to the top and you feel like, praise God, now it's going to happen, but there is nothing. That's tough. But that's where God's got him. And by the way, so we see the promise and then we recognize the place. And you've got to understand something. This was not the place of Elijah's choosing. This was the place of God's choosing. God chose this place. He didn't say, Elijah, you just go do what you want to. Or you go to a mountain somewhere. Or you just go do this or that. He said, now that you made it to the side of Carmel and the fire of God is failed, the people are finally crying, the Lord, he is God. And it seemed like things are making a turn. He said, now you go to the top. And by the way, friend, you'll never get to the top till he lets you get there. That's in God's time. Not in my time, not in your time, but in God's time. And so we see the place, and it's amazing that it was a particular place. And I do believe this. I do believe that God has a particular place for all of us. He has a place. And the important thing is that I find myself and you find yourself in that place that God has for us. And when we find ourselves in that place, really, friend, that's where contentment can be found. And I look at this, and I know that God had a purpose in this, and God was slow walking this the way he wanted it. But friend, 3.5 years it took Elijah to get to this place. 3.5 years. I'm talking about the man that was not afraid to speak to the king. The man who trusted God by the brook. The man of God, friend, who went to the widow's house and said, you make me a little cake first. The man of God who was not afraid to show himself to the king when there was a bounty on his head. He was the most wanted man. He was not afraid, friend, to mock the prophets of Baal. He said, you go first. You go ahead and go first. He said, well, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe you need to wake him up. Amen. He was not afraid to do these things. Then the man of God built back the altar and did the things that were necessary and placed the bullock in place and doused it in water, which was a precious commodity in that day. So much that, friend, it filled the trench. Amen. Oh, but friend, God, I mean, this is a man of faith, but it's the prayer of faith that's so important. James is illustrating with this man's life. Because now God has brought him to the top. God has got him to the place that God wants him to be to do what God's going to do. God can do it any way he wants to. But God chose to use this man this way. Amen. And he's at this place. Then we began to consider the prayer. And this is amazing to me. You know, when that boy passed, we have the conversation recorded between Elijah and the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. He's talking to God about this thing. And on the side of the mountain there, we have the conversation recorded for us. We know what he said. That's why we know it's 63 words. It's what he said. It didn't take him a long time to pray it. Amen. He just prayed, friend, what was in his heart. He just prayed and asked God to move. God sent the fire of God. And friend, but listen, we don't have the words of this prayer. We don't know what he prayed outside of the fact he prayed for rain. We know that because James said he prayed for rain. This is a private prayer. This is sometimes, friend, there's public prayer. Sometimes God wants it said and God wants it known. And sometimes, friend, the prayers that we pray, it's not for public. It's not for public display. It's not for me to know. It's between you and your God. And that's what's happening here. It's a private prayer. But he had to pray again. The Bible tells us here he's gone to the top and he's got down on the ground. He's put his face between his knees. And I really believe, friend, it's an act of humility. And the Bible tells us, every one of us this morning, that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And it would have been awful easy to have been puffed up with pride. I mean, if you prayed and the fire of God failed and consumed the sacrifice, you just threw 450 prophets of Baal. It had been awful easy, friend. Praise God, said, I am the man. But this man went to the top and fell on his face before God. And he begins to pray. And he's got a servant. He's picked up a servant somewhere. And I began to think, I don't know where he got the servant from. We can speculate. Really, it's not that important where he came from. But the fact is, he has somebody with him. And I do want to say this, child of God, we do have somebody with us. Is that not right? We have somebody with us, thank God. The man of God's going to pray. And he looks to the servant and he said, now this is what I want you to do now. And verse number 43, he said, go and look toward the sea. I don't know how far it was. I don't know if it was here to the back door. I don't know. But evidently, wherever the man of God was, he couldn't see. And so he said, you go and look toward the sea. Get over to the edge. Get over, friend, where it's looking where the mountains out, looking over the sea. And you just look. In other words, friend, and you come back and tell me what you see. I'm going to pray. So that's what's happening. So the man of God gets ready to pray. I don't know how long he prayed. The Bible doesn't say. Amen. Sometimes a lot of these prayers are very short to the point. I don't know how long he prayed, but he's praying, he's praying. And the servant's gone to look, and we see this prayer that's taking place here. And as I begin to think about this, I feel like the servant wants to do a good job. And you know what I believe, Brother Jonathan? I believe the servant wants to bring back a good report. I believe he wants to give some good news because they've had 3.5 years of bad news. And sometimes, friend, when you've had bad news for so long, you want to see some good. He's looking. I don't believe he just gave a casual glance and came back. I believe he's squinting against the sun. I believe he's shading over his eyes. I believe he's looking hard. He's trying to see something, anything. And after a while, he just has to say, I don't see nothing. And he comes back. He comes back to the man of God. And I don't think he's all that excited about what he's got to say. And so he comes back. And I can see him now as he says, man of God. And Elijah's praying. He's in the middle of prayer. And he said, man of God, there is nothing. That'd be pretty tough. Especially when you want to see something. And there's nothing. That could be very disheartening. That could be very disappointing. Is that not right? But I'm going to tell you what, that'd be very discouraging. I mean, you're praying, you're doing what God told you to do. You're in the place God wants you to be. And there's nothing. I think it's in these moments, friend, that God really does great things with us sometimes that we're not aware of. I really believe that the man of God is going to have a great effect upon this servant. Maybe more so than what he realizes. And the man of God who is still in this position down on his knees with his face to the ground, he's praying there, he's talking to God, and he said, you just go again 7 times. Amen. I can't tell you why he said go again 7 times. Amen. We can speculate if we want to. I just know he said, go again 7 times. And I'm going to tell you what, friend, sometimes it's just going to take some time. And so the servant goes back. He goes back to the place he was. A lot of times God brings us right back to the place we were. The place where there was nothing. Amen. That's where he went. And he's looking out over the sea. Brother Keith, I believe he is. He's just, you know, trying to see. And so no doubt he's looking hard. He wants to see something. He wants to come back. And he's looking for just a little hope somewhere. It's kind of like Naaman. Dipped 7 times. It wasn't like every time he dipped, he got a little better. You understand that, don't you? See, a lot of times, every time we dip, we want to see a little change. But he didn't. Amen. And so he has to come back. And he has to say, there's nothing. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes it ain't just hard to hear, it's hard to say. Is that right? It's hard to say. And so he goes back the second time. It's the same thing. He goes back the third time. And sometimes, friend, it can get a little discouraging. I wonder how the servant felt. Not just how the man of God felt who's praying, but how did the servant feel as he keeps going, but there's nothing and there's nothing. And sometimes in our lives we're going and we're going, but there is nothing. I wonder if it got hard to go. I wonder if it got hard to go. Let me ask you something. Can we get real? Hey, listen, has it ever been hard to go to church? Because you feel like you've been coming and you need something, but you ain't got anything. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's hard to pray. I mean, if you're praying, brother, and it seems like it's falling out of the sky, it's not hard to pray. But friend, when you pray and it seems like, friend, the heavens are shut up, sometimes it's hard. Oh, when you get in the Bible, thank God, and you get up there and you begin to read, and it seems like, friend, it gets to jumping off the page and blessing your heart, and God gets to showing you things. Oh, you want to dig and dig. But what happens when you go and there's nothing? When you're reading, it's just words on paper, and you're trying to get something, and you're trying to find something. You've even asked God, Lord, I need something from you. There's nothing. And if you hadn't experienced that, hold on, you probably will. Amen. Oh, yes. So he has to come back. And he said, there's nothing. Huh. I mean, friend, after bearing bad news for so long, you get tired of being the messenger. But there wasn't nobody else to bring the message. He was the one ordained to, you go and look. I wonder if he got to going over there, Brother Keith, and saying, Lord, I really would like to see something. Just something, anything. Lord, can I just see something? And after a while, he's had to say, nothing. Amen. I wonder if he acted like I would have acted, started kicking the dirt around a little bit, maybe throwing something. You say, preacher, you wouldn't do that? Oh, yeah, when there's nothing. When I'm wanting to see something and there's nothing. Amen. And I come back and say, there's nothing. Go again. I think, go again. I've already been. There's nothing. I'm telling you, there's nothing. He said, go again. 4 times, 5 times, looking over the sea. Surely there's something out there. I mean, and he wants to see it so bad. He's almost trying to make it appear, no doubt about that. But he has to, the bottom line is he has to come back and say, I don't see anything. Then he gets to the 6th time and he's getting close, but there's still nothing. Amen. And he comes back that 6th time. And he said, man of God, I'm telling you, I'm going. I'm doing what you said. I'm doing what you said. And that, by the way, that's got what God wants us to do, just what he said. What happens oftentimes is, friend, if we're not careful, we'll base our service off of what we see and not what he said. He just said, go. Just go. By the way, the results are up to God. What am I going to do? I mean, really, what am I going to do? What am I going to change? It seemed like when I put my hands on, it gets worse anyway. What am I going to do? I mean, the servant wasn't going to make it rain. Elijah wasn't going to make it rain. If God don't send the rain, it ain't going to rain. And you say, well, preacher, good gracious alive, there's nothing. God took nothing and made everything. Isn't it right? Did it by the word of his power. When there was nothing, there was God. And God said, let there be, and there was. Thank God, aren't you glad for that? That's the same God we're serving today. God's not changed one bit. He's the very same God. Amen. The God that said, let there be light, he's the same God today. Amen. The God, thank God, one blast of his nostrils part of the Red Sea, same God today. Same one, praise God, same one. He said, but there is nothing. I see the persistence over and over again. Sometimes, friend, it's just that over and over again. I think where God's seen the most in our life. Y'all still going to church? Y'all still going down there? I get that kind of stuff. You still preaching? You still preaching? Amen. Amen. You still going down to the west side? You still going there? How long have you been going? Over and over and over again. Boy, sometimes it seems like God kicks a honey bucket over here. Praise God for it. Hey, child of God, don't take that for granted. And we're not here all the time, thank God, when we can be here, but it seems like when God lets us come here, God kicks it over. Maybe it's just for me, but I'm telling you, I appreciate God for it. Oh, yeah, I appreciate God for it. Why is that? Because I need it, friend. Because too many times there's nothing. And I need something. I sure am glad he didn't quit after the sixth time. Wouldn't it have been bad? He showed persistence. We use the word resolved. Amen. Determined. That's what he was. Sometimes, friend, you just go when your heart really ain't in it. Sometimes just go. Because, friend, that's when faith comes in. Lord, I don't see it. I hadn't seen anything. I hadn't seen nothing. I hadn't seen anything. The wind ain't blowing. Nothing's happening out there. It's still. It's quiet. The sky is blue. Sometimes we say this, there's not a cloud in the sky. That's the way it was that day. Not a cloud in the sky. It wasn't like, friend, there was some over here and some over there. Maybe this one over here is a little dark and these over here white and fluffy. There was nothing. Well, no, that, listen, I don't believe the birds flew by. I believe there was nothing. Oh, my soul. Can I tell you something about persistence? This is a pretty tough definition, but it means a firm continuance in spite of difficulty and opposition. See, that's easy to say. That's hard to live. Amen. That's right. Well, I'll tell you what, now we can sing Living by Faith. That's a great song. And we are to live by faith. Sometimes that's tough. Amen. Amen. That's right. We can sing it on him. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Amen. It's another thing to go. We can sing, I decided to follow Jesus, and nothing do it. Amen. And sometimes, friend, when it's downhill, it's not too bad, but when it's uphill, it's kind of tough. Well, there's some persistence here. He just stayed with it. He stayed with it. He stayed with it. The man of God still praying. The man of God still praying. Go again seven times. Just keep going. He said, you keep going. I'll keep praying. That's what he's saying. They're kind of working together. You know that's what we can do today? We can work together. Amen. Somebody's praying. Somebody's going. Somebody's going. Somebody's praying. There may be times, Brother Keith, I can't pray, but you can. Well, Jonathan, there may be times I can't go, but you can. But we can do this thing together. And I believe through working together, they encourage one another. I think the man of God said, you just keep going. And I believe the servant said, well, you just keep praying. Amen. If you'll pray, I'll go. Oh, yes. Well, I believe it's right. But I'm going to tell you what, be careful, friend, about thinking in this thing by yourself. Be careful about wanting to go by yourself. Amen. I promise you, we need one another and we need God. We can draw strength from one another, thank God. Boy, it come that seventh time, the man of God said, go seven times. He's still praying. I want to feel like the servant had maybe some expectation. But anyway, he goes the seventh time to the same spot. Well, there's been nothing, and there's been nothing, and there's been a whole lot of nothing. Isn't it right? Amen. It's kind of like missing church. The service you miss is when there's going to be something. Isn't it right? Oh, yeah. And he goes that seventh time. And he's standing there on the side of the mountain. And he looks out over the sea. Amen. Well, there's been nothing. And I can see him make a pass. He comes back and he kind of does a double take. Hey, there's something. There was nothing, but now there's something. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, friend, every one of us has been out in the yard sometime, around the house, busy. Sky's pretty and blue, and the sun is shining, and we've kind of been distracted what we're doing, Brother Jonathan, and we're out there, and we just look around, and all of a sudden, my soul, the whole sky back there is dark and black. But that wasn't the way this was. It's just a little cloud. Just a little. He said, he comes back and he said, and he's talking to the man of God. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, there's a little cloud arising out of the sea. I kind of feel like at that horizon point. Am I right? Looks like, friend, at that horizon point, cloud just comes up kind of like this right here. Amen. And he said, man of God, I'm telling you, it looks like a man's hand. And from where I'm at, it's about the size of a man's hand. In other words, he said, it ain't much. Ain't much. Amen. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, friend, we might expect to turn around and see the sky black. And all we see is just a little cloud. But when he told the man of God that, that's all he needed. Amen. He said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, you better go tell the king to get off the mountain. He said, he's down there eating and drinking, making merry and having a big time. You better tell him to get off the mountain. Amen. He said, the rain is coming. What's amazing to me is sometimes we have more of an impact on people's lives than what we think we do. The king never questioned it. He got in the chariot and rode. Isn't it right? He didn't say, I don't believe the man of God. I don't believe what the man of God said. He did believe what the man of God said. The man of God is up on top of the mountain, friend. The servants went down somewhere around halfway down the mountainside and said, I'm telling you, you better get off the mountain. The man of God says he's going to rain. And the man of God, I don't know what took place. God just did let us know. That's just one of them special times between him and the man of God. Kind of probably like they had down by the brook when it was just him and the Lord. I don't know what happened there. Amen. But God said, let me take something little and I'm going to do something great with it. Amen. Amen. I tell you, listen, we already read this. It's already been said. Little's much when God's in it. See, sometimes we want big things. And we fail to realize that God takes little things and does great things with it. You say, why does God do it that way? Because he gets glory. Amen. Hey, why do you think he whittled Gideon's army down to a handful? Because he gets glory, thank God. He does things so he can get glory. Amen. Oh, he prayed again. He prayed again. Hey, he prayed when there was nothing. And he prayed when there was nothing. And he kept on praying. It was the prayer of faith. James talked about the prayer of faith. And he kept on talking about praying. He said, let me illustrate. Here's a man that prayed when there was nothing. That's a prayer of faith. Oh, yes. I appreciate God for it. Amen. Then we see the prevailing. I believe if we'll stay with God, we'll prevail. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him. What says? More than conquerors. The Bible said it came to pass in the meanwhile while all this thing's taking place and the servant's gone down and said, hey, you better get in chariot and leave. The man of God said, it's going to rain. And I'm sure people started making their way down off the side of that hill that day. And the king's done took off, friend, and all of a sudden then they looked around. Then the skies was dark and black. And the wind got to blowing and things got to happening that ain't happened in 3.5 years. That's a long dry spell, friend. That's a long dry spell to stay with God. But I'm tell you what, friend, the God, friend, can take nothing and he can do something with it, thank God. He can take a situation and change it. Amen. That's what he did. The Bible said the hand of God was on Elijah. He prevailed. And from the top of that mountain, from the top of the mountain, he girded up his loins, amen, and outran the king to the entrance of Jezreel. Can you imagine that? That's called picking it up and putting it down. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He prayed again. I'll tell you what, that's what God may do for you if you'll pray again. Amen. Thank God. I'll tell you what, friend, sometimes we're bound down and we prayed and it seemed like nothing happened. There's nothing. And that is hard. Oh, but it sure is glad when God lets you see something. Despise not the day of small things. Don't do that. He said, there's a little cloud up there. I'm telling you, it's just a little cloud. Looks like a man's hand there at the horizon. Don't look like much. And I kind of wonder maybe if the servant put his hand up toward the cloud and maybe it just kind of just overshadowed, you know, looked like, about the size of my hand. Don't look like much. But I tell you what, friend, the rain got to falling. God might, praise God, turn it loose in your life. Oh, yes. Because, see, we serve the same God. See, and by the way, God's not a respecter of persons. And he's talking about the prayer of faith. Sometimes it's our importunity. And I'll close with this, but we recall the scripture in the Gospel of Luke. The man came, knocked on the door. He said, well, I need some bread. We know the story. Amen. We know the story. Listen, the whole thing behind that is not that God can't do it. It's how bad do you want it? Are you willing to stay with God? He just kept knocking. Here the man wants to go back to bed. Amen. He said, listen, we're in the bed. Kids are in the bed. We're all asleep. Can you not come back in the morning? Amen. He's made several attempts, friend, to get this man to go home, but he will not leave. After a while, I believe he would have gave him whatever. He'd have emptied the pantry out if he had it to. That's right. Am I not right? He said, I don't need you to empty the pantry. He said, just lend me some loaves. That's all I need. That's all I need. He prayed again. He prayed again. Child of God, he prayed again. It might be you just need to pray again. Just pray again. Just pray again. Because it's a prayer of faith, boy, that makes the difference. I appreciate the goodness of God. Brother, come on the piano, if you will. We're going to stand for just a moment. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to ask the Lord to help. And if you've got a need in your life,